We have two speakers from Education Scotland. We're very pleased to welcome Elizabeth Montgomery and Kirsty McFall, showing kind of both sides of Education Scotland's remit. And they're coming to speak to us about how realising the future of computer science. Thank you. Yes.
Well, good morning, and it's lovely to be here in Edinburgh on a Saturday morning. Just to follow on from Quentin and Kate, and that fits in very nicely with what Kirsty and I are going to talk about. It is about realising the potential. And from that slide that Quentin and Kate display there, it's quite clear the potential's out there, and it's certainly growing. My name's Elizabeth Montgomery, and as well as being an HMI for 9 years, I was recently given the lead role in computing science, and that's across 3 to 18. As a school inspector, an HMI, my remit covers early years inspections, primary, secondary, special and residential and secures, and that gives me a broad viewpoint of education in different contexts. Sometimes I think we get too channeled into mainstream education and we have to look at a universal approach to computing science. Previously I was involved in science, Journey to Excellence, and a change management tool to create transformational change in Scottish education, and I'll talk a bit more about that later on. Kirsty and I have been asked this morning to go through quite a motivational remit for us, because as Quentin said, what's been going on behind the scenes has been quite remarkable in my opinion, having been in HMI for over 9 years. So we're going to talk this morning about the importance of computing science education, the inspection process and what HMI look for, and we'll try and cover both contexts because I'm aware there are primary teachers here and secondary specialists. And then Kirsty's going to look at building the capacity, because a big part of Education Scotland's remit is we look at the evidence that's out there in the system and we use rigorous methods of gathering evidence and we use that to inform and take forward the next steps. We are independent to the government, although we are part of the government, and therefore we will stand up and we will say this is what's happening in our Scottish schools and this is what we need to do to take it forward. And I think a real strength, I'm certainly delighted that Kirsty is working alongside us now in the whole support and development part of the team, because we're actually seeing a big difference in terms of how Scottish education is now supported. Just to explain to you how Education Scotland works, so we have quite a broad remit and two areas of importance are the inspection role and the developing of resources and informing learning and teaching. So within the organisation in that part of the house, I look at it, there's actually four sides to the house, but for today's purposes we'll look at the inspection side of the house and the development and support and building capacity side, and sometimes they do interlink. So each of the curricular areas are organised into faculties, and Kirsty and I are part of the STEM faculty. So within the STEM faculty, obviously, there's the sciences, the mathematics and the technologies. And within the technologies area, we have three senior education officers, of which Kirsty is one of them, and Jim Lally's here as well, and we've got Jim Fanning as well. All quite different remits, but they're still in that mixed together. We've got three HMI, so that's myself, Bill Geddes and Peter Gologly. Peter Gologly's remit is more about ICT across learning. Bill focuses more on his subject is design and tech, and mine is obviously computing science. We've got development officers who are linked more with the digital technologies at the moment, and I have to say, I think Kirsty and I would agree, we would really welcome a few development officers more in the computing science area, and we're on the case with that. And we're linked with one assistant director who overviews our faculty. So she overviews the maths, the science, and the technologies, and this is quite a new organisation or structure of for Education Scotland. But again, back to that title about realising the potential, just looking at that and the body of professionals who are involved in that, you can see the potential and how we can take that forward. So Kate asked us, why is computer science education important? And quite clearly it is integral to society, with the potential and power to change the world, which is, you know, quite a statement. I'm going to show you a few examples that sprung to mind straight away when I thought about this topic. And I've looked at the themes of leisure, health and education, because that's all important to all of us. Drones. They must have this Christmas. Did you know that? There's one coming to my house. I'm quite excited about it. For those of you who managed to go to Still Game, and I don't know if anybody... Did anybody go to Still Game at the Hydro? Well, what was that set like? And computer science completely and utterly enhanced that whole experience. There's a lovely moment where Victor has trying to contact his daughter. That's the top bit over in Australia. But I think by the end of the show, I think his daughter was maybe hopeful that, or a bit concerned about what computer science had done for her, because actually his involvement in her wedding celebrations was a bit of a disaster. On a more serious note, and from my inspection work, a lot of young people with severe and complex needs rely very heavily on computer science to really enable them to access the curriculum and to really to access life. So if you get a chance to find out about iGaze, I was very overwhelmed by a young man who, prior to iGaze as a communication system, was unable to communicate with anybody in his family without, you know, quite difficult methods. And as a result of iGaze, he could interact with his peers. He could use his computer as you and I can use our computers. He could interact and really start influencing the world that he was living in. And that was one of those moments where I thought, yeah, you know, computer science, we need to continue with this. And obviously with cancer and health, it's just transforming people's lives. So what does a computer scientist do? A computer scientist makes sense of complex situations, solves problems, they conduct investigations, they communicate ideas, and they can use these skills in a wide range of contexts. So why do we go into schools and why do we go out in this world and people think computer science is about ICT and really nice PowerPoints and spreadsheets? And if you talk about computer science, you could probably come and fix my computer that's broken. And all programming. If we've got the kids programming, we're doing computer science. And I find that very frustrating. And lots of conversations, and you must be the same, are faced with people who are new to computer science, really aren't clear what is computer science. Just let you read that slide. Now, Kate showed a negative statistic, and probably you're all very well aware of what's happening in Scotland. Not only do we have fewer computer science teachers, we also have fewer presentations in national qualifications in terms of computer-related areas. If I go back to that slide where we've got computer science transforming lines, and there's a decline of people going into the subject, people teaching the subject, and young people choosing the subject. As you know, it's a spiral of decline. And how will we maintain our position in Scotland? We're contributing £3 billion to the economy in terms of our digital industries if we're not really investing in our young people with the skills for the future. I'll move now to inspection and review, and you'll all glaze over, I'm sure. The principles and purpose of inspection and review is really to inform Scottish Government of how policies are being implemented within our education context. But more importantly, and something that I feel very passionate about with inspection, and certainly something that's very rewarding for the job, is really getting a chance to find very good practice in the system and get a chance to share that. And it's been really heartening. Kirsty and I have been given two referrals recently of computer science departments in Scotland that are achieving very, very well. And we're on the case to go out and visit them and start communicating that out there. Because this job, inspection and review, has the potential to change lives. Inspection, whether it's in a primary school or a secondary school, starts with a head teacher's self-evaluation. Now, you may not get an HMI, in fact, it's very likely you'll get an HMI who doesn't have a computer science background if you're in a secondary school. That's irrelevant. It's relevant because it perhaps cannot support an individual department to move forward with a very challenging professional dialogue, but ultimately, what they're looking for is the same whether it's in computer science, whether it's in biology, English, drama. It's all the same. We're looking for effective learning and teaching. In a secondary school, increasingly you'll have faculty PTs. When you go into an inspector school, it's unlikely we'll have a one-to-one dialogue with an individual PT. If it was a subject specialist, you may. So if I was in a secondary school, I would probably make a point of speaking to the PT. But you're not going to have every curricular area on your team in the school. But a group of faculty PTs will be spoken to and we'll hear about what's happening, any effective practice. The purpose of that meeting is really to support the head teacher's self-evaluation of where they see the school is, and we triangulate the evidence to form a picture or a model of what your school looks like. I think what's probably important to most teachers when we go on inspections and have discussions with them is, what's it like for me in the classroom when you come into my class? We try as much as possible to engage with the young people, see what they're doing, getting about them. But in our heads, we're looking for the same things. So if you think of the QIs, if you think of 2.1 learners' experience, are these children motivated and engaged by the lesson that's taking place? Are they able to talk about their learning? Do they know what they're supposed to be learning? In terms of the meeting learning needs, is the work suitably challenging? So that's QI 5.3. Have you got your more able children being really challenged? Is it the one lesson that's delivered? Go and run and let's just get on with them. In terms of attainment and achievement, so that's 1.1, we look at how well the children are achieving. And when you've got your national qualifications, that's a fairly straightforward process. What's much more challenging across primary and across secondary is tracking children's progress through the broad general education. And people are coming up with some quite creative ideas on how to do that, but there's no test anymore. You don't have your 5 to 14 assessments. Not that we had that in computer science anyway. And that is a challenge. So how well are the children progressing? We look at 5.9, which is self-evaluation. How well do you know your department? How well do the children know themselves? How much are the children actually informing the learning that's taking place in your department? And how much does that inform the school improvement plan? So we pull all that information together, and it could only be 30 or 40 minutes in a class. You may not even get an observation in computing science in a secondary school. It really depends. And in a primary school, last primaries I've been on the past couple of years, I don't think I've observed any computer science-related activities. Lots of ICT, but certainly not any computer science ones. When we are in our team meeting, we take all the data that everybody has brought. So we've got a lot of qualitative data from what we've observed. And we look at the stats that have been provided to us by our statisticians. Now, we use Insight now, which is a lovely example of computer science, where they create a virtual school to compare your school. I know people are sniggering, oh, Insight. But it has the potential to be very effective. And one point of Insight that I think has hugely improved in what the old stacks was previously your school would be compared with real schools that are in Scotland. So if you've got 50 children who are in SIMD, so their socioeconomic factors are in decile 1, and you've got 50 children whose socioeconomic figures are in decile 10, there was an average brought. and you'd be compared to schools that had a social index of halfway. The virtual school's different from that. They take, I think it's 1,000 children for each one. No, it's 10 children for each one child in the school. Is that right, Kirsty? And they create this virtual school to compare you against. And what's particularly strong about that, and what, although people are going, insight, is the fact it's focusing very much on closing the gap for young people. So really improving life chances, and I don't think anybody in this room would disagree with the philosophy behind that and how important that is within our Scottish education system. The computing course itself in a secondary school or a primary school will not be looked at in any great detail. And as Quentin mentioned, the understanding or the belief or the thought at the moment that we really need to look at how we're delivering computing science in primary and secondary, for some cases, in terms of the experiences and outcomes. But if you've got something better, go for it. And I explained to Quentin, I was in a school recently, I think one of the teachers is here, and in primary four they were extracting DNA. Which do you know tells you about doing that? But a really creative teacher has made a point that, yeah, this will really challenge my children, and it was appropriate for the children she was dealing with. So what is the future of computing and computing science? I believe it's in our hands as a community, and that's everybody in this room. You're here on a Saturday morning. Everybody's ready for that. In my opinion, it's never been a more exciting time in computing science education. We've got improvements in vision. Everybody's quite clear where we want to go with computing science. We've got good leadership, or better leadership, and you're accessing that yourself through organisations like CAS, Plan C, and people are putting themselves forward. There's a global interest in computer science education. And if you just have a very quick look, computational thinking, Google that, whoa, the academic research that's going on just now is phenomenal. And I think people new to computing science could perhaps be put off by it. That's why I'm heartened by the work that Quentin's involved in and Richard Connor at Glasgow and Strathclyde Universities. And they're looking at quite a fresh approach to it. So they're separating the generic problem-solving skills that some people are assigning to computational thinking with quite specific computational thinking skills. And if we really are committed to building the curriculum and really committed to skills for learning, life and work, we have to take account of the skills for the 21st century. And I personally believe that within computational thinking, that's a way forward with that. Not just going and doing a bit of programming. Quentin mentioned the Skills Investment Plan. There is money that has been invested to support this, so it's got government buy-in now as well. So we really do have a unique opportunity to look afresh at how we can transform lives through computer science education. There's no other curricular area that does that. This is our unique selling point. It's what we mentioned. Lives without computer scientists influence them. Where would we be? Certainly wouldn't be in here, and we certainly wouldn't be looking at these lovely slides. So, looking very quickly, because Kirsty's about to speak, this is a change model that I spoke to you about. It's quite different because it takes account of the future. So there was lots of people who were looking inwards at themselves using Higios and other self-evaluation tools. They looked outwards. We're all very confident at sharing good practice now. We're online seeing what's happening, attending courses. But nobody was really thinking about, where does this sit in the future? Where are we going with this? And we've got two examples where, in terms of the outward looking that I mentioned earlier, that they've completely revamped their VGE in a secondary school. They've revamped it because they are very aware that they want to motivate, engage their young people in computing science, gaming and animation, and that's how they're hooking them to get them in. Now, it's working in your context. You might be in another context where gaming and animation isn't appropriate, but what is the hook to get the children into computer science? I'm sure if you took one of these drones into a school, the kids would be, whoa, how do they work? And Kirsty might mention the X-ray goggles that we learned about last week, where you can look behind a web page. Now, these are quite exciting context. Where are they? Where are they in our education? Do we have the confidence to put them in? Yes. You do? You should? Moving forward now to the next part of this change management tool, and Kirsty and I have been trained in this, and we'd be more than happy to work with anybody if you want to sit down and look at it and look at your computing science course, whether it's primary or secondary, and see how this model could be applied in there. Because what it does, this is only a very small part of it, it plans with hindsight. So when you're planning the future, you're mitigating against what potentially the risks are. And that's, I think, has been its greatest success with the people that I've worked with it on. So, the three horizons chart. The first horizon is, how good are we now? So that's that very first bar there. The second horizon is, what are we going to do to move forward? And Kirsty's going to go into a lot of detail in terms of the capacity building that's going on behind the scenes through Education Scotland to support going forward with computer science. And then the final one is where we want to be. So here's our unique selling point from computer scientists. Computer science potentially could be the innovation to change the world. Where are we just now? Well, the data shows a decline in schools with computing science departments. We have approximately, and these figures aren't too accurate, but 300 schools are presenting at national qualification levels, and that's out of 365, according to the stats, 365 secondary schools that are there. So the data shows overall a decline in young people presented for computing science qualifications in their senior phase. Often people are faced with computer science sitting in a column with other option choices, and children are maybe encouraged by a number of factors to choose a subject over computer science. So I think there's a lack of value of computer science in our system. I don't think people realise the potential that taking computer science education can actually give to them. Currency for university courses. Do you always need a computing science hire to do a computing science qualification? The concern is when we're trying to take on board everything, when we're planning our curriculum, what do we prioritise? And that's where looking at this chart's really good. So the first horizon is, where are we now? And it's high, these things are prevalent, this is happening. And some things we really need to get rid of. Austerity. There's a standards and quality report online if you Google, and I think you'll be quite alarmed at the cuts that are hitting every single Education Scotland, Education Authority in Scotland's education budget. Almost all of the education budgets are on decline, and there's a nice bar chart which I can put a link at the end of this. That's quite alarming. So how do we create this change when there is austerity there? From our inspection reports, this is all doom and gloom, we'll get to the good bit. There's limited evidence showing children receive their entitlement to a computer science education, and that's early level through to the end of their broad general education, particularly in primary schools. And they've got quite an overcrowded curriculum in the primary schools, so we need to support professionals to say, well, what do we not need to do to take this forward and value it? And there's that viewpoint that I mentioned early, that computer science is just really being good at ICT. And there are examples of S1 and S2 pupils who no longer get two periods a week of computer science because everybody else is doing ICT across the curriculum, are they? Only you'll know from the school you're in. Oh, and finally, if in a primary school you're doing computer science, you're doing coding, so we're sorted. So that's quite a negative outlook of where we are. And that's the first horizon. So where it says H1, that's the state of play just now. And we're about to publish our Technologies Impact Report, which will state clearly the state of computer science as part of the Technologies Group in Scottish education and the impact of curriculum for excellence within that. And there's quite clear recommendations that we're putting in there. So that's quite a negative story. The second horizon, so H2, is what's happening in the system and the positive things that we want to grow. This is what we want to grow. These communities of people really pulling together, getting their ideas out there, sharing that and informing practice and really I think, informing society of what computing science actually is. Kirsty will talk a bit more about the second horizon and what's going on out there to support as we move forward. But this is a bit I want to finish with. So the third horizon, that's where we are at the bottom, these good things that are going on that I've mentioned, and that we want to grow the green line and really have within our education system. So what were we looking for? We're looking for computer science to be education to be valued and well understood. As a place for all children and young people, and not just those who want to choose a career in the digital sector. And again, that's what's very promising about the work that Quentin and Richard are involved in, because they're looking at the value of these computational thinking skills across non-computer-related subjects. And if we can really show the value of that, then I think, again, we're looking at the unique selling point of computer science. We want to build on the digital sector's contribution of $3 billion to the Scottish economy. We can't lose that. We've got to keep growing that. And widen the progression routes for young people. Children and young people will have the relevant skills for the 21st century. And I believe that will include computational thinking within that. And that computer science education is dynamic. So that's about opening up the future. And Kirsty will talk to you about how we're supporting people like you in education to arrive there. And finally, I'll just let you read that slide. I firmly believe that we are embarking on potentially one of the most exciting phases of computing science education. It's alive. The world's starting to waken up and starting to look at what Scotland's doing. And together, I'm sure, with the support of each other, we're well on our way to achieving that. So Kirsty, could you come and talk about building capacity and where we're going to support this?
I feel like I've been introduced 3 times already, so I won't introduce myself again. It's really nice to be here this morning and to see some faces I already know, but to see the wider computing science community, which I don't get to see on a regular basis, so it's nice to see you all here this morning. As I say, I think I've been introduced in it enough times this morning already. What I want to talk about today is 2 things, really. Only 2 slides, a few bits coming in and out. But I want to kind of share with you where we are, and where we are is a very exciting place. It's this perfect storm of opportunity I'm going to create here up on this first slide that some of you might have already seen, with a few tweaks to it. Curriculum for Excellence is all about the learner at the centre. And we have learned so much in the past 10 years, in the past 5 years, about what's going on in education. The pedagogy, we've got John Hattie's book on visible learning about what actually works. What are the things, what are the key things that work? So if you've not read this or one of these other teacher books, it's worth having a read of. This is like a Bible of what's worth spending your time on to raise attainment. A really, really useful book. Pedagoo.org, I'm sure there's lots of people in here aware of that, and sharing, reflecting on your practice. We've also got the McKinsey Report 2007, OECD, all of these things that are adding to our knowledge about how do the best schools do this, how do the best education systems create the atmosphere, the curriculum that gets the best out of the young people. The OECD ports Synergies for Better Learning again, and Performing Beyond Expectation, one that you might not have seen before, and I can give you this presentation or the links to these so that you can find them. Again, all about looking at what's the best way to get the best, how can we get the best out of our children and the best out of our education system. Technology, things that are really moving on. We've got lots of things that have been going on here. Different devices that we're able to use within the technologies. We've got different learning platforms. cloud, all of these things that I know many of you are all using. It's a bright future. There's lots of things going on there that are that have changed in such a short space of time. So what's been happening in Scotland? We haven't been standing back and looking at all these things going on and saying, we'll just wait and see what's going to happen. We've been transformational. We've given ourselves that opportunity. We've introduced CFE. Transformational, that's the word I always want to focus back on. It's transformational. It should be very different from how we've done it before. Our focus is, again, all back on that learner. We've got Teaching Scotland's Future. I'm going to talk a wee bit more about professional learning in a minute. But Teaching Scotland's Future is about you. It's about how do we do this? How can we better prepare our young people for moving forward? And one that Elizabeth's already mentioned, the Technologies Impact Review. Technologies Impact Review, for me, is going to be a very important piece of work. We have visited between 40 and 50 schools from special education, early years, primary, secondary, 3 to 18, looking at what is the technologies experience for young people in Scotland today? What does it look like? And that's due to be published in the middle of December, so please keep an eye out for that, as well as a launch event that will be happening in January as well. So keep an eyes and ears open for that in your local authorities if you want to be part of that. This is a baseline bit of evidence. It's given us a state of the nation of where we are now. So a very useful tool for me, having only really been in the job, although I've been with Education Scotland for about 2.5 years, only been senior education officer since the end of July, this is a really useful tool for me to say, well, what is it that I need to be working on? What do I need to be doing to support teachers in creating the best education system we can have? What do I need to be doing? So that's going to be something that's really powerful for me. CLTA Forum. Quinton alluded to this earlier on. The CLTA S Forum, as it is now, is the Curriculum Learning and Teaching Assessment Forum, support forum, which is that next phase of Curriculum for Excellence, that part where we want to look at how can we not have a huge curriculum change again? How can we make sure that each part of the curriculum is relevant and up to date on a much more regular basis? So more of a tinkering with it when it requires it, rather than having to do a huge curriculum reform like we've just had. So this forum will be a pretty powerful forum, which will be able to look at the curriculum, say, is it relevant? Is it up to date? And they will be looking at, okay, so are within the broad general education, the experiences and outcomes that we have there, are they relevant and up to date? And that will be something that will go to them. And all the evidence that goes along with that will be things like the Technologies Impact Review, the work that Quinton's doing on computational thinking, but lots of other bits of evidence. That's one thing that you have to remember about Curriculum for Excellence. We don't make changes without the evidence there to say that we need to do these and that this is the right way to go. And I think that feeds quite well into the work that Plan C's been doing in professional learning, in terms of it's about using the research that's there to tell us that this works, so let's try it. So the CLTA S Forum, they are due to be up and running just now. It will be a broad range of people that will be involved in that forum. So again, if you're interested, definitely keep your eyes and ears open for opportunities to be involved in that. Information. That's the other thing that I think we really are in that perfect storm of opportunity just now. We have the information from the Technologies Impact Review that's coming. We have the information from the SIP. So we have lots of stats from the SIPs. I'm not going to go into these. You probably know them already. Drop in females, 30 to 17%. Between now and 2020, 11,000 extra people in the ICT and digital sector. That's not including the around 10,000 per year that we need. That's an increase in numbers because of for different drops. So lots of information out there already from lots of different sources that really put emphasis behind why we need to do something for computing science, why we need to actually act now. Professional learning. Again, this ties in with what's been happening in Scotland and pulls this all together. We've got Plan C, and I think what's really important for me is this is the key. Our Chief Executive, Bill Maxwell, talks about creating a world-class education system, and we have a good education system, but we want to be great. And this is the key to that, is this professional learning, is really looking at professional learning in a different way from how we've looked at it before. And I think that's what Plan C is on the way to doing, is really looking at research and how you can embed that in your practice and how that can transform your practice in the classroom. Whereas previously we've maybe not had those opportunities to actually do that. Another bit I wanted to talk about, and I'm only going to talk about it briefly, I think about a year ago, took on a bit of a challenge of, in the very early days of me knowing about computational thinking, I had looked at initial thoughts of Quinton and Richard and thought, I'd like to see what primary teachers could do with this. And I'd also like to see what they could do with it without using a computer. So I undertook a bit of professional learning with teachers at Longforgan Primary, where they looked at quite detailed parts, I suppose, algorithms, decomposition, parts of computational thinking. And they used improvement methodology, similar to the techniques that are being used in Plan C, of, okay, here's something I want to try out, I'm going to go and try it out, test it, and then come back and talk about it. Now, they used improvement methodology to gather that data, and some of you may be in local authorities where the leading improvement team from Scottish Government's actually working just now using that type of method to gather data on the impact of interventions that you're taking in the classroom, and that's something that I would say get involved in if you hear that it's going on, because it's an interesting way forward for gathering data. And can be, sounds very complicated, but I think is a good start to action research if you're interested in that type of work. So that's where we are. Look, what an opportunity. All these things are coming together at the right time to move forward with computing science, and for computing science and for me, the technologies, to raise their head above the parapet and say, we are a valid part of the curriculum, and what can we do now to make you all realise that? We've got all that evidence there. A nice quote there from Stratosphere, Michael Fullan, if you've not read it, it's a nice short book to read. Personal learning that is irresistibly engaging, elegantly efficient, technologically ubiquitous and steeped in real-life problem-solving. And I think that really pulls that bit all together for us about what we're actually doing here for the learner. Last bit, because I'm conscious that I don't want to talk over my time here for you, keep everybody on schedule today. A bit of a bubble diagram. And this is about, the last slide was about where are we and what's actually going on. What I wanted to show you here is, again, I suppose it feeds back to what Quinton was talking about right at the beginning, about we are pulling together a strategy for technology across Scotland at a national level, and that's my job to do that, to make sure that I can have contact with as many of you as possible and support you and help you develop and help us develop into that great education system and that. So what we've got there is we've got our CLTS forums up in the corner there, one that you might not have heard of, but I know quite a lot of you have been involved with GLOW Key Contacts and things, so you might actually know about the NDLF, which is the National Digital Learning Forum, which runs quite similar to the CLTS, but focuses specifically on digital learning, which I'm sure you are all keen to be involved in as well. What we've got in the middle there, for me, the National Technologies Network is going to be a vital part for me to communicate with you on a much more regular basis. The National Technologies Network is due to be launched when we launch the Technologies Impact Review in January, and we will be inviting a number of people from every local authority in Scotland to attend that so that they can be part of this, the starting point for the National Technologies Network. Jim Lally's sitting in the second row here and is very passionate about taking forward this network because we've not had something like this before. We've not had a way of communicating with you on a regular basis at a national level. So that Jim was the one that probably started that idea off and we've gone with it, and I think that is going to be a vital part of this, of pulling this all together. What we want to do with that National Technologies Network is we want to make sure that that's an opportunity for industry and business to share what they're doing and how they can get involved, but also so that they can hear what we're doing. And there's a much more two-way. I've got arrows going in both ways there because I think it's a two-way thing. Also, we've got stakeholders, a huge number, and I'm sure I've missed some up there. I keep adding to that diagram. It keeps getting bigger, bigger and bigger. All these people have got a place to be involved in, and it's important that you hear what they've got to say and they can hear what you've got to say as well. Our ITE establishments, again, we're working very closely with them now. We have an event coming up in December where that's what we're going to work on. We need to have a better relationship with them so that we can make sure we're getting the right NQTs coming out, and that also that we're encouraging people in to study computing science as well. Relevant research and reports. Again, I think that feeds in. I want to make sure that you do all know about the technology's impact of you. I want you to know about the ICT SIP. I want you to know about Developing Scotland's Young Workforce, or the Wood Report in brackets. So I want you to be as up to date as you possibly can be, so that when you are, you know, moving forward and saying, right, why am I doing this? Why do I need to be doing this? That you've got all that evidence behind you to actually say that I know why I'm doing this and why I'm pushing forward with this. And practitioner hubs, and I think that's the area we want to build on. We're very lucky that Plan C, Quinton and Kate and Peter have been working so hard on putting together hubs across Scotland that we've got a way for you to engage at more of a national level, but also for you to be able to hear what's going on at a national level as well without having to get time off of school. It's a part of a practitioner hub that you're already working in. And that's one of the areas you'll notice is quite small at the moment. And I think that's partly to play in the fact that we've never had a national technologies network. So these practitioner hubs have not had an opportunity to feed in anywhere. So they've possibly not sustained. And I think that's one of the key things for the future. This is a long-term strategy that we want to put in place to support you. It will develop over time and it will change over time. We're constantly talking, but what I do want you to go away from after hearing from Elizabeth and myself is that there are people now at a national level who are working on your side, and we are very closely linked with all the stakeholders that we need to be involved with. So please, if you do want to share any thoughts or any ideas that you have, please come and tell us, because we have put these things in place. I have spent the last year making sure that I have good relationships with all of these people so that we can move forward. So hopefully next year when I come along, that we'll be able to have some of the stats that we had there will be going up the way after this year. And I feel quite positive that will actually happen because of the amount of work that we're all putting into that and all joining up with. So thank you for listening this morning. Hopefully that gives you a bit of a picture of where we are.